answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
A very important document, and unlike Obama, who could have destroyed the Middle East with a horrible JCPOA, it is the worst agreement. That was a road to a nuclear weapon. Mine is a wall against a nuclear weapon.
We don't want another nation to go nuclear on us. We already have 9 nuclear nations. You don't need a 10th, especially in the Middle East, because if the Iranians would have gotten one, the Saudis would have gotten one, the Emiratis would have gotten one, and you just don't want to go there because you treat a non-nuclear nation much different than you treat a nuclear nation. And you know where the president was coming from? It was not diplomacy at the start, but from strength. We're going to show you that we can beat you whenever we want to do it. And we're not going to just talk about it. We're going to use combat power to prove that. So when you go back to JCPOA that was in 2015, it's much different than the JCPOA that the president is going to try to get some nuclear deal done now. Let me give you an example. With JCPOA in 2015, there were sunset clauses. Amount of centrifuges they could have, that would expire. The fact they could enrich uranium, that would have expired this year. And they could have gone anywhere they wanted to well into the future. And you don't want that to happen. So what I'm saying is he actually firewalled us, the United States, for future generations.
And that's a key point. That is retired General Keith Kellogg on Newsmax earlier today. And, of course, you heard in the beginning President Trump talking about this deal is much better than we had under the Obama deal with Iran, which was going to allow them to continue nuclear weapon development. They just were not going to have it done before he left office. He knew that. So he was willing to say, yeah, let's go ahead and let you do whatever you want. General Keith Kellogg nailed it. We do not want another nation, especially a radical theocratic regime like Iran, to have nuclear weapons. Look what they've already done with weapons of conventional warfare, from guns to explosives, responsible for terrorism around the world. And again, not frightening you, but a word to you and your friends or family if you're traveling to Europe, or even Central or South America over the summer. You have to be aware that jihadists will still be looking for an opportunity, funded by Iran, to hunt you down, kill you and your family, and everyone with you. That's a fact. It is now, sadly, a fact of life. I have my own view on some of the pushback against the Trump deal with Iran. I'll share that with you coming up here shortly, but let me point out to you now, this is the way it's being reported. Iran's chief negotiator and Vice President Vance now hashing out details of the next 60 days beginning of what will or will not be included regarding nuclear weapons, but Switzerland confirming initial negotiations on implementing the U.S.-Iran Memorandum of Understanding, signed, sealed, and now delivered. And what's reaction right away? Well, opening the Strait of Hormuz, one of the key parts. Ship tracking services report at least 3 Iranian oil tankers carrying about 5 million barrels of oil have already passed through the former blockade. Since President Trump announced Sunday, we will begin to open up the strait. We will cease the blockade. We're still in the region, still in the area. And Trump is indicating we will move out. I say do not move so far, and I say we're in the deal as it say how far out we have to move. And the reaction on the home front, and of course many are saying this is what Trump was planning all the way. All he wanted to do was get to a point where he could lower the gas prices again. Well, that's happening. According to AAA, the national average price of gasoline dropping below $4 today. And it will continue to go down once these oil shipments start. But That does not mean the conflict is over, not by a far, far way, because the jihadists want to destroy Western civilization. Welcome to hour number one, Larry Connors, USA, here June 18, 2026. And reminding you, with Larry Connors, USA, we're here every Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m. News, analysis, opinion, and education. You're going to know more by the time you finish each hour than you do right now. That is a promise. Hold me to it. In our next hour, pride in America, it's slipping away. In fact, as we've got many Americans who are walking away from being proud about America. Why? A lot of it to be blamed on Trump, because they hate Trump so much. But there are other factors in play. We'll get into that. Hillary Clinton on how Israel is playing the USA. She makes it very direct. Bibi Netanyahu and Israel are playing the USA. Will you agree? That's the next hour. Later this hour, hear this. Are you listening? Are you listening? Grooming children for pedophiles. It is an active and frightening event that is happening even as I speak. I'll have the evidence for you coming up shortly. And also, suddenly environmentalists are crying out, and I'll get into this in the next hour, actually. The World Cup is hazardous to our environment. Climate alarmists coming forward. The World Cup is dangerous. That in our next hour. And before we wrap this hour, the story behind the story. The first American woman in space, Sally Ride. And she had some secrets. She had some secrets that came out to the public only years after her history-making ride. Sally Ride. Now, back to the Iran deal, Trey Yankst.
Earlier in the day, the president talked about this agreement, what it means, and what happens if it isn't enforced.
It's a memorandum of understanding. If it doesn't get done in 60 days, it's all right. We go back to bombing. You know, I don't want to do that because it's so good. But we might have to, because we're never going to let them have a nuclear weapon. But they've agreed not to, and you'll see that very clearly in the agreement. We're not putting up money. Only if they're doing things right. If they're doing things right, if people want to invest, they can invest.
On Wednesday, a U.S. official read the agreement to reporters. Within the deal includes an immediate end to hostilities across the region, including in Lebanon. The final deal must be reached within 60 days with the possibility of an extension. This is related to Iran's nuclear program and the details that are yet to be discussed. The U.S. naval blockade of Iranian ports will end. The Strait of Hormuz will open, and the Iranians will receive tiered sanctions relief based on their performance and their agreements with the United States.
In other words, it's a phase-by-phase event. And you underscore what Trey Yink said. There could be extensions. MSN Now had their correspondent David Rowe on. A question was posed.
What else is actually in here tangibly already figured out?
Virtually nothing.
Okay.
And that's why this is such a victory and a surprise, really, for Iran. And it's actually reopening the strait on Iran's terms. There's still a possibility here for Iran to charge tolls, that it can take control of the strait, a power it has never had before. And that's what won the war for Iran. It was closing the strait. The most revealing statements, David Sanger said this in the New York Times, was Trump's statement, "I don't want to be Herbert Hoover." I had to check my history lessons.
Yeah. But take us through the annals, yeah.
Well, I was, you know, World War One and other things, but he essentially went down in history as causing and mishandling the Great Depression. And so the president's bravado through all these weeks that, you know, we're winning and we're, you know, bombing the hell out of them, you know, beneath it, they used economic levers, they used shutting the Strait of Hormuz, they used a global energy crisis to win this war.
In other words, Trump backed down and accepted any deal, even a bad deal, for political victories. Keep in mind, if they close the strait, do you not believe we will go back in there and force it open again? Of course the hell we will. But I want to point out to you, Connecticut Senator Murphy, you had already said, I would take a bad deal, even a bad deal, to put an end to all of this.
I have been prepared to swallow basically any deal to end the war. And my desire is still to stop this war. I knew the deal was likely going to be bad. I knew the deal was likely going to be humiliating for the United States of America. But I didn't know it was going to be this humiliating. I didn't know the deal was going to be this bad. The war needs to end, basically upon any terms.
This bad. Now, a lot of details are still to be sifted through. And part of it, again, memorandum of understanding. This is the plan. This is where we're going. Do you want to stop the war? Well, let's try this approach. Again, as I said, I have my own views on it. I'll come back to my views in a moment. But first, let's go to Louisiana Senator John Kennedy.
All day long, members of the media in Washington have been running around like lizards on a hot rock. What do you think about the agreement? What do you think about the deal? What if the deal says that? What if the deal doesn't do this? And I'll tell you what I told them. If you don't know, shut up. None of us have seen the document. Here's what I do know, based on what we've done and what the president and vice president have said. I know that the Strait of Hormuz is now open. The blockade on both sides has been lifted. I know that the price of oil and therefore the price of gasoline is coming down. I know that the document is conceptual, about a page and a half. It's basically a deal to make a deal.
Yep.
I know that Iran is immeasurably weaker than it was a year ago. We have bombed the crap out of them.
And you cannot deny that. And yet the leftists will insist, well, we've done nothing. Iran is in better shape. They're not in any better shape. Their regime, their leadership is annihilated. That does not mean they're done. And then, of course, the question for Trump about what about the forces? If you're going to pull them out of the Gulf region, are you going to do that? You're ending the blockade, but what are you doing about U.S. forces in that region?
How long will you leave the U.S. military in the Gulf?
It's a good question. We haven't thought of it. We're really probably a while. It's a good place to stay. I would say a little while. See how it all goes. I think it's going to go well, but we'll see.
Keep them anchored in an area close by. Now, Mark Levin has issued his views and thoughts, and he is not happy with the deal. I'll make that very clear to you. I'll give you more details of that coming up in our next hour. But I want to give you my impression. In fact, I exchanged this with some fellow colleagues here at the station and others today. My view, and it's my view, you're entitled to yours. As I wrote, here's a headline on CNN as I write this. Trump's Iran agreement may be flawed, but he's getting what he wants. That is a powerful statement from the legacy media. That's what CNN said. Trump's Iran agreement may be flawed, but he's getting what he wants. Then they add the prime thing he wanted, and of course we wanted. Iran ceases nuclear weapon ambition. Good. I'm not sure where it's going to, but it's a start. And I added, I certainly don't think we can trust that will happen and be locked down over the next 60 days. But even then, we must have full and open opportunities to verify. That was the primary goal and reopening the strait. What Trump and we really wanted was unconditional surrender. But at what price? Plus a regime change carried out by the Iranians. This could be a fracture in moving in that direction, but still a long ways to go. We're not dealing with a country to be trusted. But again, maybe this is a start. And I added, I don't want us to fully withdraw from the region. I'm sure we won't. One other point on the CNN headline. Trump's motive, true motive, avoiding an economic catastrophe, damaging political ratings. Now I added, this reality is hand in glove. We got a big slice of cake with a lot of the icing, but not all of it, and no ice cream. But so far, it is far better than what Obama left us. As I added my note to colleagues and others, okay, there's today's show. My work is done here, but not quite. Got more for you. And in fact, Governor Newsom claiming that Trump weaponized the DOJ to go after him and his wife, as if Biden did not do that against the Trump family. But even CNN corrects Newsom.
Jennifer Siebel Newsom, the wife of California's governor and potential 2028 presidential contender Gavin Newsom, is currently under federal investigation for possible tax crimes. The full scope of the investigation into the first partner is unclear. The documentary filmmaker founded Representation Project, a nonprofit focused on gender equity in media.
I love championing and focusing on uplifting and supporting women and girls.
She also owns a film production company called Girls Club Entertainment, which is listed as a contractor on the Representation Project's tax returns. And she co-founded the California Partners Project, a nonprofit that works to get more women onto corporate boards, address the gender pay gap, and make tech safer for children. Critics have raised the possibility of self-dealing for years. CNN has learned the current investigation was launched last year by the U.S. Attorney's Office in Sacramento based on a whistleblower report.
And also take note, the California Newsoms are all about girls and women. Not really, but they'll take your money if that helps get it in. Oh, and give me an attitude of how the leftists are moving farther and farther left. There's a Democrat primary challenger to another Democrat in New York. She's standing behind her position that all deportation is wrong. That includes deporting illegal aliens convicted of the most heinous crimes like child abuse, murder, domestic abuse, and kidnapping. She says it's wrong to deport such people. Wacko! And again, if you believe that, you sign an agreement, let them live in your home with your children, and you be responsible for them. She's not going to do that. But that's what they want you to live with in your home and your community. Coming up, many Americans, and we know that's true, especially when it comes to some of the Hollywood elites and so forth, they no longer have pride in the USA. You want to guess which party is rejecting America? And there's an age issue at play as well. That'll be coming up. Also, the story behind the story. First American woman in space, Sally Ride. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day, must be another roofer in town. And John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying gazoons height, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gazoons height is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes. The German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gazoonsite, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Bubble, bubble, rolling stone. My son, wherever he lays, happy was his home.
And when he died,
all he left us was alone. Now listen to me.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
What do you make, and some of it is obviously partisan, that, you know, when your party's out of power, you have, you know, less pride in the country. But what do you make of this huge drop off?
So just, I don't think that's right. Why does that need to be true, that if your party's out of power, you should have less pride in your country? Like, I guarantee that when Barack Obama was president or Joe Biden was pretending to be president, that you had Republicans who still said they're proud of America. They're proud of our military. They're proud of the great people of our country. They're proud of our natural beauty. Like, it says, I think 29% of Americans or of Democrats are proud of their country. I assume that includes you, even though you disagree with the present administration. So what seems to me so bizarre about this is that we've allowed a culture to develop where people feel like the country is the country's politics. And I think that's like, it's actually connected to the violent rhetoric, where if you disagree with somebody, you can justify killing them. It's really, really a bad thing. I wish Democrats, all of them, were proud of our country. We should be proud of our country.
We should be proud of our country. Are we proud of everything we've done in our history? No. We have scars. We have things we have done that were atrocious. Slavery being one of the key ones, obviously. But much of what is happening now is it's Trump derangement syndrome. But it goes deeper than that. That was Vice President Vance in an interview at that point with Fox's Jessica Tarloff, claiming that when your party is out of power, you're going to have less pride in the country. He says, I don't think it should be that way. I don't either. When Joe Biden was president, I was still proud of our nation. I was proud of the USA. I was not proud of what that president was doing, nor his actions. I wasn't proud of him. But that did not diminish my pride in my nation, did it you? I got some surveys I want to run through with you. But before I do, since you're talking about pride in the USA, and a lot of those anti-American are all about open borders like Joe Biden did. Thank you, Joe Biden. One of the names now being released as to being part of the, according to the Department of Justice and the FBI, part of the attempt to bomb the White House cage match last weekend, and those around watching, and to set up snipers and shoot those trying to be evacuated. According to the Department of Homeland Security, the alleged ringleader, at least one of them, an illegal alien. He was in our country illegally. Thank you, Joe Biden. He's a 31-year-old from Mexico. He's one of five alleged conspirators, co-conspirators, accused of plotting to murder President Trump, government officials, and event attendees. The New York Post reported that earlier today. He is an illegal alien that he planned, according to the DHS, organized and directed the planned attack. You want more illegals in our country? Unvetted, unchecked? Now, the pride in our country, I want to share with you a CNN survey. This is a CNN survey. It found that 31% of Democrats, 31% of Democrats have some pride in our country. They have pride in our country, or at least some pride. Only 31% of the Democrats. According to the same survey, those in the GOP have 80% of them. 80% have pride in our country. I'm disappointed that the other 20% of the GOP have no pride in our country. And I would think, again, that has to do with Trump. But there are other surveys backing up other information. An Associated Press report on a new Gallup poll, again, pointing out 36% of Democrats say they're extremely or very proud to be an American. Now, the CNN survey said 31%, so it's close to the same area. But they also point out a dramatic decline in national pride involving young people. Again, according to the Associated Press, I'm reading what they say about the Gallup poll. Many, but not all Americans, have felt less of a sense of pride in their country over the past decade. The split between Democrats and Republicans, 58 percent points, widest since 2001. And that includes all 4 years of Republican Trump's first term. It continues, only 4 in 10 of U.S. adults who were part of Generation Z, defined as those born between 97 and 2012, only 4 in 10 express a high level of pride in being an American. Millennials, those born between 1980 and 1996, 6 in 10 have pride in America. And if you're of the older generation, 7 in 10. So there is an age difference going on here. And according to a senior editor at Gallup, each generation is less patriotic than the prior generation. And Gen Z is definitely much lower than anyone else. And the senior editor continues, but even among the older generations, we see they're less patriotic than the ones before them. And they become less patriotic over time. And the Gallup senior editor says that's primarily driven by Democrats within those generations. Even during the years of the Iraq War, the vast majority of U.S. adults, Republican or Democrat, were extremely or very proud to be an American. At that point, 9 in 10 extremely or very proud to be an American. That remained high in the aftermath of September 11. But then it began to slip. And again, the Gallup survey reporter, editor, I said, it is not just a Trump story. Something is going on, and I think it's just younger generations coming in and not being as patriotic as older people. And to you young people listening, and you parents of those young people listening, adhere to this. Where else do you find a better country? Give me another country that's better than the USA. Why do so many want to come here even illegally? And you watch the World Cup, and as a national anthem is played for those players on the field of their country, they stand with their hand over their heart, regardless of their country. We're likely, even our pro players in various sports, standing around chewing gum, looking around, no hand on the heart. It disgusts me every single time I see it. Another recent polling showing Democrats and independents are less likely than Republicans to say expressing patriotism is important. I think it is important to express your patriotism. Of course, what you're going to hear from the left sometimes, you're being a nationalist. Nationalist in the sense that I want my country to be first. Do you expect the president and the people of Germany, France, England to declare that they want America to be ahead of them? No, of course not. And you damn sure don't get it from the China or Russia, do you? There was a CNN poll that found fewer than 1 in 10 Democrats and Republicans said proud is the way they describe they feel about politics in America. Now, politics in America is different than American causes and our people and our history. Again, Vice President Vance.
They're anti-women playing in women's sports. They want men to play in women's sports, the craziest thing. They become anti-Semitic in the Democratic Party. They become anti-Christian in the Democratic Party. They become anti-white in the Democratic Party. And what I love about the Republican Party is whether you're black or white, whether you're a Jew, a Christian, or a person of no faith, the thing about the Republican Party is that if you work hard, you play by the rules, and you love this country, you are welcome on our team.
Yes, yes, on our team. But to that point, Secretary of State Rubio said foreign nationals who desecrate our flag or vocalize strong support for Hamas in Palestine could face visa or green card denials, even revocations.
No one has a right to a student visa. No one has a right to a green card, by the way. So when you apply for a student visa or any visa to enter the United States, we have a right to deny you for virtually any reason. But I think being a supporter of Hamas and coming into our universities and turning them upside down and being complicit in what are clearly crimes of vandalization, complicit in shutting down learning institutions. There are kids at these schools that can't go to class. You pay all this money to these high-priced schools that are supposed to be of great esteem, and you can't even go to class. You're afraid to go to class because these lunatics are running around with covers on their face, screaming terrifying things. If you told us that's what you intended to do when you came to America, we would have never let you in.
Never should have, and we would deny and reject and revoke. Oh, my God, my free speech. I thought I could come to America and have free speech. Yeah, you can have free speech. But we will revoke your visa and send you packing. Cry all you want. Cry all the way back to some Marxist communist country and see what kind of free speech you get there. I love my country. Coming up, the story behind the story. The first American woman in space, Sally Ride.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta, but you just visit the website NapoliSTL.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson.com. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL.
And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. Touchdown brings me round again to find. I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
On launch day, there was so much happening around us. I spent an enormous amount of effort just trying to stay focused because it would have been way too easy to just be lost in the moment.
Sally could invite 50 friends and family, so she invited her friends from Stanford, tennis friends, Jane Fonda, and she invited me. You know, it was just unbelievable. I get chills now just remembering it.
There were some 500,000 people who showed up at the Kennedy Space Center and the surrounding area to watch this happen. And many of them brought their daughters, little daughters, sometimes just babies.
Mission Specialist Dr. Sally Ride now completing her preparations for ingress into the orbiter.
Once we were inside the space shuttle, strapped in to our seats and waiting as the countdown got closer and closer to zero, my mind started wandering and I focused on the most mundane things. Where was my pencil? Looks like it's about, I don't know, a couple centimeters misplaced. I better move it.
T minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. We press the main engine start. We have main engine start. And liftoff of STS-7 and America's first woman astronaut.
It sure is fun.
That is a clip from National Geographic. I always want to give credit when I can, and where it's due, for their report on that. And I stress again, Sally Ride, on this date, June 18, 1983, became the first American woman in space. I stress American for a reason. She had been preceded by two Soviet cosmonauts. They went off much earlier. Valentina Tereshkova, 1963, 20 years before Sally Ride took her ride, Valentina was the first woman and first civilian in space. She remains the only woman to have flown a solo space mission. And the second woman was also from Russia, 1982, again a year before Sally's ride. And she became the first woman to perform a spacewalk. Sally was on board the space shuttle Challenger. Again, the liftoff this date, 1983, the first American woman to go in space, third overall. She did no spacewalk and not a solo mission. She was with men, part of the crew, and the space shuttle, of course, was designed to return to Earth as opposed to splashing down into the ocean. Sally talked in that National Geographic report about her ambition from early years.
When I was a little girl, I always dreamed of flying in space. And unbelievably, that dream came true.
I can't explain why I wanted to do it. Just something was part of me.
Then I had the chance to float over to the window and look out down at the Earth below at the absolutely spectacular view. I could see coral reefs off the coast of Australia. I could see glaciers in the Himalayas.
And the feeling of seeing your planet as a planet is just an amazing feeling. You can look at Earth's horizon and see this really, really thin royal blue line. And then you realize that it's Earth's atmosphere and that that's all there is of it. And it's about as thick as the fuzz on a tennis ball. It's a totally different perspective. And it makes you appreciate how fragile our existence is.
And of course, after the ride, she got questioned a lot by reporters. But even before the launch, she was peppered with questions. And on one hand, they were almost stupid questions. And in one particular case, Sally kind of threw a question back to one of her fellow crewmates, a male.
This is Shuttle Control. Challenger entered the sensible atmosphere at approximately 400,000 feet.
As the first female astronaut assigned to a space shuttle crew, Sally was the focus of intense media attention. Reporters asked questions like, "Do you weep when things go wrong on the job?" Sally stayed calm, gesturing toward her crewmate, Rick Hauck, and replying, "How come nobody ever asked Rick those questions?" Sally blasted off aboard Challenger in 1983 to shatter NASA's gender barrier. She flew on Challenger again in 1984 and was training for a third mission in 1986 when Challenger exploded soon after liftoff, killing all seven crew members. Sally was heartbroken. Still, Sally served on the presidential committee that investigated the tragedy and also on the commission that looked into the 2003 Shuttle Columbia disaster.
There's something to keep in mind about Sally Ride being selected. This was not a DEI program. It was being done to, obviously, we wanted to put women in space, as the Russians had done, but we weren't just going to pick a woman just to pick a woman. You're going to have to be competent. She had, in 1977, spotted an article on the front page of the Stanford Daily about how the NASA group was recruiting many new astronauts and wanted to recruit women. So she was one of 8,000-plus applicants sending in her information before the deadline, became one of 208 finalists, and then she was only the only woman among 20 applicants in the sixth group, and all of them had various professions that they could do. They tested her, putting her in a rescue enclosure, a 36-inch ball in diameter, 36 inches, to see if she had claustrophobia. I guarantee you I would have. And eventually she was selected as one of 35 astronaut candidates in a group. Six of those were women, still not Sally. But then she was chosen, made the flight, and now making the return to Earth.
This is Shuttle Control. Challenger entered the sensible atmosphere at approximately 400,000 feet.
Houston, Challenger, loud and clear. Nice and smooth all the way down.
Real good, Crip.
I'll say once more, we're away to come to California.
The space shuttle is down, but not down where they wanted it. Weather prevented a landing in Florida, and so instead it landed in California. And since the change was on short notice, there were not many people there to greet the five astronauts after their highly successful flight. But here's ABC's Ken Kashiwahara at Edwards Air Force Base.
Challenger turning final now.
Perfect was a word NASA used a lot today. Perfect landing weather at Edwards Air Force Base and a near-perfect landing to end a near-perfect mission. But because the shuttle was supposed to land in Florida, shuttle control had some good news and some bad news for the astronauts.
The good news is the up here is very, very cold this morning. The bad news is it's 3,000 miles away.
And 3,000 miles away was the reason for NASA's change of landing plans, thick clouds over Cape Canaveral. NASA wanted to land Challenger near its launch site to cut down the turnaround time between missions. Now, the next mission may be delayed for more than a week. But for America's first woman astronaut in space, the California landing was a homecoming of sorts. Sally Ride grew up in Los Angeles, about 100 miles from here.
So she and the shuttle Challenger crew, a change in landing, not going back to Florida, but going to California. The president had radioed the crew or talked to them and said, well, I was hoping you'd swing by and pick me up and I'd meet you in Florida anyway, but you didn't stop by and pick me up on your way to California. Sally Ride had secrets, some that would have been not just embarrassing, but she felt might disqualify her. So, yes, there is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them, and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
All you want to do is ride around Saturday. All you want to do is ride around Saturday.
Yeah, that song, recorded in 1966 by Wilson Pickett, later by Al Green, Ride Sally Ride. Now, with her liftoff, when she took that ride on this date into history to become the first American woman in space, 1983, a lot of those showing up for the launch were wearing shirts reading, Ride Sally Ride. Perfect setting. I told you earlier about some of the questions she was asked about, do you weep when things go wrong? I mean, what? They were looking for anything that would break down Sally. And she turned to, as you heard earlier, one of the male shuttle astronauts said, why don't they ask you that kind of question? She was also asked, will the flight affect your reproductive organs? Again, they didn't ask men that either. NASA was still adjusting to female astronauts and engineers. They asked Sally Ride to assist them in developing a space makeup kit, assuming it'd be something a woman would want to have on board. They just assumed that, and infamously suggested maybe we need to give Sally Ride a supply of 100 tampons for the six-day mission. And laugh about it now, but at the time when they were doing it, they were actually acting, they thought, possibly in good faith and maybe concern for her. As I pointed out earlier, and was documented by an ABC special and a book by an ABC correspondent, Sally had secrets.
we didn't know, including that she lived with another woman for 27 years.
Why was she so insistent on privacy on this score?
If Sally Ride had been openly gay, she never would have been selected as an astronaut, and she never would have been the first American woman in space.
By taking Sally Ride into space.
Former ABC News correspondent Lynn Scherr, who first met Sally Ride while covering the shuttle program, has written a new biography which reveals many of Ride's secrets, including the fact that she couldn't resist having a clandestine meeting against strict orders from the State Department with a Russian female cosmonaut at the height of the Cold War.
Sally had purposely worn that night under her blouse a T-shirt that she had worn on orbit during the STS-7 flight. And she said to Svetlana, I'd like to give you this. She said, oh, I'd love that.
And later, during the investigation into the Challenger explosion, it was Ride who acquired and then leaked a key document showing that NASA management had prior knowledge of the faulty equipment believed to have led to the disaster.
What do you conclude based on all of these surprising things you learned about her?
She was the person I thought she was. But she was much more.
A public life that tonight has so many more private layers.
Now, her meeting with, against the advice of the State Department, Svetlana, she met. Again, that was the second Russian woman in space, 1982. The group she was in was nicknamed TFNG. Stood for 35 new guys, supposedly, but in the real phrase, military phrase, it meant the effing new guy. But they were all astronauts, all ready to do what they were needed to do. Sally Ride, the first American woman in space. She died July 23, 2012, at the age of 61. 17-month battle with pancreatic cancer. No one has ever suggested her time in space had anything to do with it, and no evidence that it did. But again, passing away at the age of 61 in 2012. The story behind the story tomorrow will focus on what's coming up Sunday. I hope you haven't forgotten what Sunday is. June 21st, Father's Day. So a little bit more personal for me and for you. The story behind the story tomorrow. Coming up, concerned by climate alarmists that the World Soccer Cup is going to ruin our nation and our world. Really. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
Podcast of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beal. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. VincentsJewelers.com. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Under Law. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Under Law will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Under Law does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Under Law has already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Underlaw.com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com. Wins.
This is News Talk STL.